You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. And welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. I'm Tom Bump, your host. In this episode, we actually partner with Todd Hixenbaugh and the Kid Connection Podcast. And instead of me being the one doing the interviewing, I'm actually getting interviewed this time. And we're talking about partnering with parents. And so Todd and I decided to record this episode together and share it on both his podcast and mine. So enjoy the episode of the KMC, and thanks for listening.
Well, welcome to the podcast, Tom Bump. Great to have you here.
It's good to be here.
I'm so excited to be able to talk with you. You're just a person. You've been on all sorts of podcasts, done all sorts of stuff. I'm really excited to be able to talk with you today. Can you just tell us a little bit about you and kind of what you do and just the whole thing?
Yeah. Well, I have been in ministry for 30 years in some way, shape, or form. I'm a pastor's kid. So I'm a church brat, grew up in the church, but that's where God grabbed my heart and called me into ministry. And so I surrendered my life to say, okay, Lord, wherever, whoever, just put me in front of a group of people, that's who I'll talk to. But I do have a passion for youth and kids and families right now, and that's where God's had me focused in, and so that's where I've put a lot of my time. And right now, I'm in the middle of a journey where I'm searching for what's next, and in the meantime, because I'm not somebody who sits around and just is bored, I have a ministry called Elevation Coaching Group and Kaboom Ministries. They're kind of two in one, where we offer ministry coaching to churches, leaders. We also do parent coaching for parents that are struggling. We have a marriage ministry where we can do premarital and after marriage counseling. And then I have a whole kid entertainment side with the Kaboom stuff, where I have a silly science character that does a show, and then we do a family fun night program as well. So kind of doing a lot of different things right now until the Lord opens new doors. And then I also host my own podcast called Kids Ministry Collective Podcast and a Facebook group with the same name. And so God's got me doing a lot of things in the kingdom, but that's what it's all about, building the kingdom. Sure. So
love it. So one of the things I really wanted to talk to you about, because this is a big piece of, I think, what you do, is partnering with parents. Mm-hmm. And so with it, I just wanted to start out with this. Why is this so important? Like, it's a buzzword right now. It's a big buzz phrase in church world and kid world. Why is this so important?
Well, I mean, for me, it goes back to, what does God's word say? And we do throw around Deuteronomy 6 as being the foundational piece. But the thing that, as I've studied Deuteronomy 6, is it wasn't just written to parents. It was written to a community of faith. So to me, the command is very clear that parents are supposed to, raise their children, but it's also the church is supposed to be there together. So they're supposed to be a community. So I think one of the things that I've seen is that we tend to swing pendulums in church world. And the pendulum is really heavy right now about partnering with parents. And I do think it's important, because the church attendance has become, really all over the place. I mean, if you follow most of the research, it's, people are there twice a month at best. So if we're going to see disciples made, if we're going to see the Gospels fulfilled where Jesus said, go make disciples, then we have to help parents disciple their children. So to me, I look at it as, Deuteronomy 6 does command fathers to teach their children. I think there's lots of principles. Solomon gave principles about fathers teaching their sons. I think Peter and Paul both make it very clear parents are to teach their children. So the principle is there all over Scripture. But I think that there's a bigger picture here where, because of our culture demands that we help parents reach their children with the gospel first, and then disciple them even deeper in their faith so that they own their faith. I think that's just critical.
Right. So with that, there's like you said, there's tons of roadblocks that we're dealing with. Attendance is one, all sorts of things. So what are some of the largest roadblocks that pastors face when attempting to partner with parents?
Well, I think that busyness or that infrequency, I think just like I said, a lot of us, for some reason, the church is very slow moving. Instead of being fast moving, we're not ahead of the culture. And so we're just now going, oh, well, if attendance has changed, well, attendance changed a long time ago. If you're paying attention, you saw you watched how people shifted their attendance with 5 years ago. But now it just seems like in the last 2 years, I've been hearing more and more people talking about it. And so I do think that's one of the roadblocks of the church has got to figure out what do we got to do to change that. I think a lack of a plan. I think a lot of leaders know they should be partnering with parents, but don't really know how to do it. They know about maybe they don't even know about some of the resources that are out there. Here's the other thing I was thinking about. Oftentimes we in the church, we start something and then we don't even stick with it. And I think that becomes, parents just look at us like, oh yeah, here's another program you're throwing at me. This is another thing you want to eat up my time with. Another thing you want me to stick around after church and have a lousy slice of pizza with. I think those are some of the roadblocks that we face. Sometimes they're what we've created. Others are just what parents have created.
Right. And that's so critical too. I don't know how many times I've seen people, and I've done this too, where you create a new thing, hey, we're going to once a quarter, we're going to get together all the parents and we're going to, and then you do it once.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah. So what are some ways that we can begin, by the way, to break down in particular, the attendance thing? How do you begin to navigate around that? Because I think that's a big concern a lot of people have.
Well, I don't necessarily know we can navigate around it. I think we have got to go into it. I think we need to start digging into families a little bit, start talking to them about why this is a priority for them, and then looking at it and saying, okay, God, what can I do to partner with these parents? What can I do to equip them that they could leverage this time that they have on if their kids are playing soccer and they've got a Sunday morning game and, it's across the state. What can you do on the road trip? Now, thankfully, there are some more electronic resources out there. There's services that are starting to stream, kids programming, not just the worship service. But I think one of the things we got to do is figure out how do we build the relationship, and that's going to come by spending time with them, being where they are. One Sunday I even took the Sunday off, turned it over to my team, and I went and hung out at soccer fields because there was a big local tournament and a lot of my kids were there that morning. So I went and hung out and supported them. I wanted parents to know that they were valuable. Now, was I condoning them missing the church and the assembly? No, I wasn't. I was just saying, hey, look, I get what you're doing. And hopefully as I could teach them, I would teach them to show them how the Bible says we do need to be together and we do need this, because I'm old school and I made the decision early on as a parent. My kids weren't going to compete on different things like that. We just weren't going to do it. And it didn't break them. They're not in a psychiatric ward somewhere and hurting, because it's wounded child because I didn't let them play soccer on Sunday. They were okay with it. They got it. And thankfully, because they grew up with that value of I want to be in church, it wasn't a big deal. But not everybody's like that, and I don't expect everybody to be like me. That was my personal conviction. I think where parents are today, we as leaders can go and get in with them. We can text them encouragement. We can share resources with them and encourage them instead of beating them up and making them feel bad for missing. We can say, hey, here's what we had today. Here's what you can do to keep this going during the week so that your kids won't be missing out. I think letting them know that they can still win is a huge thing. And I think that's something we need to do because, like I said, the culture is not going to change for the church. It's just not. They're not going to stop doing sporting events on Sundays. You know, that used to be that way, but they're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, that time's long past.
Yeah.
Definitely. So you started to kind of touch on it, but what are some ways that we can begin to foster a relationship with the parents in particular? I think that's a tough one. You know, we can be crazy and do also make things explode and stuff Sunday mornings for kids, but yeah. How do you really begin to foster a relationship with the parents?
Well, I honestly think that, like I say, spending time with the parents, getting your team to be active, because obviously a leader's not going to be able to do everything. So you're going to have to get some people if you have them. And I know not everybody has a team of people to work on. I didn't always have a team. Sometimes it was me. I was the team. But I would do my best. I would do, well, Andy Stanley says it, you know, do for a few what you wish you could do for many.
Right.
That's a great quote. And that's what I've always tried to live by is, okay, if I can only go out and take a couple dads out for coffee a week, then I'm going to do that. And I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to find out what's going on in their life. I wanted them to know that I wasn't just the kid's pastor. And I'll leave the air quotes out, but you know, but I've heard a lot of kids pastors say that and it drives me nuts because we are pastors, but our ministry is to kids.
Right.
That's why I always say I'm called to ministry right now. God has me specializing in kids and families. If he wants me to be a lead pastor, I don't consider that a step up. Or anything else. To me, it's just another role in the church. Sure. So I'm one of these that I don't elevate those kind of things. So for me, when it comes to relationships, I'm going to do the same thing I would do with anybody that I want to become friends with. I'm going to spend time with them. I'm going to text them and let them know I pray for them. I'm going to shoot them an email or an Instagram or a Facebook message. Wherever they are to connect with, I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep throwing resources up. Podcast, blog posts, whatever I can do to encourage them, to give them something that shows them I care for them. But it's just those simple little things, you know, truly shaking their hand and saying, hey, I've been praying for you. Honestly, the best thing I've ever done was texting families during the week and saying, hey, this morning I wanted you to know I prayed for you and your family. If there's anything specific, shoot me back a message. Otherwise, you don't need to respond. And sometimes I'd get nothing. Other times I'd get a smiley face. Other times I'd get, wow, I needed that today, and here's something that we were struggling with. And honestly, when parents needed something, they didn't run to the senior pastor. They were coming my way, not, you know, because he wasn't helpful, but because we had a relationship.
Right. That's huge. It's definitely huge. And with that, you know, I think that we all have a roadblock in our minds. I know I have in the past where, you know, I feel like I'm intruding. Mm-hmm. Or like I'm, you know, in my context too. So I'm single with no children. And so, you know, it's like, who are you? Like, you don't have the ability to do this stuff. So that's very encouraging to be able to hear that. And with that, you mentioned the team thing. How do we help volunteers and train volunteers and teach them to be able to begin to create these relationships too? Because I think that's huge as well, especially if you're in a larger context. To be able to have, you know, your small group leaders really begin to foster that relationship. What have you found to be effective in cultivating relationships with volunteers and parents?
I think one of the first things that we do is we spend a lot of time talking about owning what we do and not renting it, which to me, an owner in my ministry, a leader, a small group leader, a coach that might be overseeing some of my volunteers, they have to own what they do. And in order to own what they do, they have to know my heart. They have to know the owner. So I spend time with my few key volunteers, building relationships into them, winning their hearts so that they own my heart, so that I know that they're going to go out and they're going to share what I would share if I was actually there. So one of the things that I do is spend a lot of time with my volunteers, showing them what I do and how I do it, talking about why I do it. I spend a lot of time on why, because the more they know that why, the more they know that, you know, and I hate this buzzword sometimes, but on mission, But they know their mission is to go and build relationships however they can. We encourage them to be visible. But the only way they're going to do any of this is if they see me modeling it. So I have to share with them stories of how, hey, you know, I talked to Joe Smith today or this last week. We went out for coffee. Just hearing that words, we went out for coffee, says, hey, Tom took some time out of the office to go hang out with a parent. Or, you know, when I was at the soccer field the other day, I saw these three families. And so we stood around and it was hilarious because the kids were talking about what we did on Sunday morning. And, you know, I want my team knowing that I don't just do ministry on Sunday, that I'm out there. I'm in the fields. I'm beating the bushes too. And by doing that, that helps them go, you know what, that's important. And I need to be there. And so when I encourage them to say, hey, you know what, guys, don't just do ministry on Sunday. Owning means that we're available anytime and anywhere because we really want to step into a kid's life and be a part of it. So they need to know that. The other part is I take them with me. Obviously, if I'm going to meet with a mom, I'm not going to do that by myself because my wife wouldn't appreciate that. Now that might be a good way for you to meet a wife. I don't know. Well, not a married. Well, that boy, that went south. Okay. Yeah. We're going to have to edit that one. All right. But anyway, scratch that, reverse. But you know what I mean? I want to keep things proper. So I'm going to take some of my team. So I might take a couple of I might say, hey, we're going to meet at Panera and invite some of my lady leaders to come meet with a mom. And we all hang out together. And it's just a way for me to introduce the mom to the small group leaders and for all of them to get to know me on a safe level, because that's what I want to do. So I think some of those kind of things, you know, giving them some tools, giving them some talking points, I think is huge because sometimes they just don't know what to say or what to do. So I created a little talking sheet. It's just a little bookmark kind of thing that just had some points that they could talk through with parents, you know. And then we always had, this joke about 20 seconds of insane courage. When a parent comes and picks up the kid in a classroom, you got 20 seconds. So take that 20 seconds and say something meaningful to the parent, ask them a question, and then give them something to win with. So you could be like, on your way home today, you know, here's the take home sheet. You might want to ask your kid this question, see if he was listening. You know, and it's just a fun connection point. But I think that those are little things that you can set up the volunteers to win with. And they start partnering with parents and then boom. Next thing you know, they're doing it more than you are.
And then you look awesome.
Yes, they look awesome.
They look awesome. Everybody looks awesome. So as we're wrapping up, you know, one of the biggest things a lot of folks might be listening to this might be thinking is, that's great, Tom, but you know, it's kind of hard whenever I don't get any support from senior leadership or maybe my elder, my deacon isn't really, you know, on board, or hey, my direct report, you know, doesn't really think this is important. how do we begin to champion partnering with parents with our leadership? Like how do we lead up to be able to do that? Do you have any tips or tricks for us?
Okay. This first one's gonna be real blunt. But stop waiting for them to pat you on the back. They're not going to do it. I've been in ministry for 30 years, and I've yet to have a past senior leader be super incredibly insanely over the top supportive like I would want them to be.
Right.
So I've stopped doing that. I've stopped expecting that, and it's okay. So once I got over that mental hurdle that they weren't going to do that, and then the next thing is my attitude changed to say, okay, well, probably the reason why they're not saying anything or doing anything is because they don't even know. They are so busy, and having sat in some of those roles, sometimes we kids minister, we isolate ourselves, we silo ourselves mentally to think that nobody else cares about what we do, and it becomes an us versus them thing. You got to knock that stinking thinking, get rid of it. Start with the approach of, I'm going to keep my pastor informed. So I'm going to go to him and say, what would be the best way for me to share some stories with you that you could maybe even use in your messages during the week. So you could let the congregation know what's going on down here. And I started learning what he wanted and what he could use, what would be valuable. And what was cool was, is even if we just stood around the coffee, you know, pot and talked for 5 minutes every Monday morning, and I shared with him what happened on Sunday, it was stuff that I eventually heard him starting to tell other people and use. And he became a champion for me. Now, I've had some guys that have been natural champions, which was a huge blessing. I mean, they would come down the hall when they weren't speaking, high-five my teams and all that. I had one pastor that he was phenomenal about that. When he let somebody else preach, he was down in my area, standing in the kids' worship time, singing and dancing with the kids. He was phenomenal. Other pastors I've had have never set foot in the area, ever, even if they weren't preaching. They'd walk through it on their way to the main service, but that was it. So what I did is started helping them, giving them stories to tell, sharing about wins. You've got to be the champion. So you be the one that crows as loud as you can in staff meeting about, man, this was awesome. We blew this up and we had this. Or, man, I saw these kids get down on their knees and in tears just worship God. Or I heard about, you know, one of the kids shared a story of how they shared Jesus with one of their friends this week. You've got to start championing it. And as you do that, that's going to be huge. Let your let your pastor see you got a plan. Work that plan with them. But like I said, create a plan with them of what can you do to keep them informed. Invite them, you know, let them know, hey, I'd love, you know, when you're not preaching next, come on down. I want the kids to get to know you. Maybe we can do a quick 5-minute interview. Last thing, I think one of the coolest things I did that helped just bridge that gap, because I did have a pastor who wasn't real comfortable. So we did a lunch with the pastor. We invited the kids to stay after church. Senior pastor came in. We asked him what his favorite meal was. Of course, we warned him, you know, needs to be a little kid friendly. So, and it's something we can reproduce. And we were going to have lunch. Well, this pastor decided, you know, and of course, this was back when nut allergies weren't huge, because yeah, he liked peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
So, oh, there you go.
That's what we had. You know, I don't remember what we had for those kids. Like I said, I don't think nut allergies were that big back then. But yeah, it was so cool to see him gain a heart for kids even more. And he began to talk about it in the service more. And I just think you can win your pastor over by showing him that you've got a plan to do ministry. You're not just running over, you know, doing something silly all the time, but you've got a plan, you got a focus, you got goals, and you're achieving those things, and that you keep them informed of the wins. You've got his back. Boy, I tell you, when you do that, you're going to have an ally in the first chair, and that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. So, Tom, just as we're wrapping up, if people want to learn more from you, if they want to be able to follow your stuff, where can they find you at?
Yeah, well, obviously, if they're not part of the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group, they can join that. Cause I'm on there all the time. On social media, Twitter's PT Bump, Instagram's PT Bump. My website is just tombump.com. I do have a blog at ptbump.com, but it goes to the same place. So tombump.com is the easiest way, to find me. And yeah, if somebody needs help, encouragement, some coaching, whatever, I'm available.
Awesome. Love it. Hey, thanks, Tom, so much for talking with us and helping us to be able to partner with parents better.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.